Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Jennifer Arezio. She's a master intuitive, an author, a teacher, and a speaker. She founded her business in 2004 in response to her intuitive senses and ability to help others feel better about themselves, both holistically and naturally, working closely with them to generate a feeling of strength and well-being. She specializes in helping people connect to themselves, to each other, and to the divine. She founded a new paradigm, Soul Language, which provides guidance for understanding our true nature and tools for accessing deeper levels of awareness. This insight into how the soul expresses itself is being embraced by top healers, lifestyle coaches, and CEOs all over the world as a method for helping people recognize their purpose and live from a place of power and truth. Her modalities of strength include soul language, essential oils, therapeutic kinesiology, and pranic healing, among others. Through her programs, such as the Soul Language Identification and the Spiritual Renegade platform, she gives individuals tangible tools they can use in their lives every day to help live with integrity, authenticity, and prosperity. Jennifer has published an affirmation card deck with Karen Frost Olmsted called Keys of Grace and had two books published, Soul Language, Consciously Connecting with Your Soul for Success, and A Little Book of Prayers. And Jennifer, I have read that one. Her expertise has been profiled, and she finds Courier Post and the Beauty Bible. Tutkam, AnnaPurnaLiving.com, and she has been interviewed by H. Les Brown for News for the Soul and Officio Radio. And she has been published and has conducted over 100 interviews and articles all over the world. And so let me welcome Jennifer. Jennifer, once again, how are you tonight?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you. Wow, that's a big introduction.
Well, I got it from you.
I'm realizing, wow, you know, you do it and you forget about everything.
I know. Well, it's a beautiful introduction, and it provides a lot of food for people to really tap into where you're coming from and what you're about. And so I appreciate the in-depth nature of it. And I wanted to let you know I have the little book of prayers, and I love it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I love the fact that you call yourself a spiritual adventurer, because I call myself a spiritual renegade. I'm not going to do it
like
anyone else.
Oh, I like that, too.
And
yeah.
So, you know, spiritual renegades just, you know, we're highly intuitive, highly innovative. You know, we don't like to be told what to do. We want to have this personal connection with whatever we call our higher self. And I think we're kindred spirits. So I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Really, my pleasure. And I used to have a roommate who was a close friend of mine who was a channeler. And she had on her door, she had a sign that showed a balloon ascending, and it said, off on an adventure. And that always impressed me. I think that life is supposed to be about adventure. or to tap into that sense of adventure, that sense of wonder and joy that should be our natural birth, that is our natural birthright, but a lot of people seem to have forgotten that. And so I just love the word, I embrace it, and I accept that that's what I'm here for when I can remember that that's what I'm here for. So
beautiful.
That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So let's talk about the nature of the soul and what we can do to more deeply connect with our spiritual essence.
Well, I consider soul that essential nature that's never been hurt. It knows no sorrow. It knows no pain. It's your part of divinity. It's your God part. And why we want to connect with it in a conscious way is it's because it's our best friend. It's our, you know, greatest compass. It's never going to steer us wrong. It's always going to provide this kind of ultimate cushion and ultimate safe harbor. And that also allows us in a deeper way to connect with whatever you call your higher self. I don't care what you call it. Universe, tree, Bob, God, divine. I had a client called Bob. But that connection is so profound, and it leads to this feeling of deep safety and deep joy. And we are having this wonderful human experience, and having that connection process allows us to walk this human experience with a lot less struggle. My purpose here is to alleviate suffering through connection. So teaching people how to connect with their soul is one of the ways I do that. So the easiest, simplest way I tell people to do that is just take a deep breath, tune into your heart, and then just ask a simple question like, what does my soul want me to know today? What do I need to remember? You know, and if you ask that one question for the rest of your life, you will have enough spiritual practice and spiritual journey to keep you going forward. It doesn't have to be this big life and death thing of spiritual journey. It gets to be fun. You get to have this close connection, and it gets to be personal. And I think, and that's what I love about your show, and I think people forget that, that this connection in your soul is very personal. So no one can tell you what it is or what it looks like. We can put some tangibility around it. That's one of my gifts, right? But in the end, it's really about you and that connection. And so it gets to be exactly what you want it to be.
Love it. And I love the fact that what you suggest people do each day is very simple, because it's my belief, and I'll be interested in checking this out with you, that the pathway to spiritual reality lies in simple truths, and that we tend as human beings, especially when we go into our ego state, to make things too complicated, and that it really doesn't need to be that way. In fact, it's better to uncomplicate and lead the simple life and find our pathway to freedom that way.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that, you know, it's simple choices, right? You get to choose those universal truths, like you're enough, you're whole and complete, that you're abundant, that you're love, or you get to choose something else. And sometimes, you know, during the day, I choose something else. And even if I do, if I move from judgment from that, you know, I can quickly come back into connection. It's a practice. You know, being connected is a choice every moment of every day. And simplifying your life sometimes helps with that practice. You know, I love to experience, you know, life itself. You know, I'm a big foodie. I love beauty. I love music. I love art. And so sometimes I tend to collect that stuff. When the stuff becomes more important than my connection, I let the stuff go, right? And that's
for
what it's
you.
Really,
that's a lesson that I have learned, but I have found the challenge to be deciding how to let go of the stuff. And perhaps we can talk a little bit about that too.
Well, a simple way is just to ask the stuff, you know? like, are you ready to go? And you'll get that answer. You'll get that knowing. Another question to ask yourself is, why do I want to hold on to this? Like, what do I believe this thing is going to give me? Or what do I think I'm going to forget, right? And then, you know, I used to laugh at my best friend because she would, for years, before I started this work, she would throw something away and she'd be like, thanks, you were great. And I would laugh at her. I was like, that's ridiculous. But she was totally right on the money. You know, you thank that stuff and you either allow it to move on to someone who needs it or to be reused or recycled or whatever it is. You know, sometimes the stuff is, you know, disintegrating and you must let it go. You know, it's really about tapping in and understanding what that stuff is allowing to reflect in you. And then you can activate that reflection by using your divine nature. So if, you know, that favorite piece of music activates joy, you simply can ask divine intelligence to activate the joy within. And if you have to do that a million times a day, you do it a million times a day.
Well, you know, backing up a little bit, I love the fact that you used the word choice many times when you were talking about the reality that we choose to live in and how we can release judgment and re-choose to move in a direction that is in alignment with the source of our beings. And I think that that's something that a lot of people tend to forget, is that we do have a personal responsibility for our own joy, and that it does start at a choice level. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, often we're not taught to choose. We're taught to kind of conform. But we have free will, and there's a lot of mumbo jumbo about free will, but here's the simplest thing about free will. Free will is your right to choose every moment of every day, whether you know and accept that you're whole and complete or you feel separate. That's your biggest choice you make in everything you do. So when people understand that they can choose from a place of freedom, of knowing that they're whole and complete, what unfolds in their life is a lot less struggle. And I think people don't really understand choice because there are a lot of autopilot things in their life. So I'll give you an example of my own life. So for years, I wouldn't eat the yolk of a fried egg. And I wouldn't eat the yolk of the fried egg because my mom, and I love her, by the way, doesn't eat the yolk of the fried egg. So, right, growing up, that went to the dog.
Uh-huh.
So one day, I'm at breakfast, eating around the center of the egg, and I thought, I don't even know what that tastes like. And it was a simple thing, like, if I'm just doing this because I've been taught to do this way, I could be missing something really great. So I tried the center of the egg, right? I didn't like it, by the way, but I made that choice, right?
Uh-huh.
There's so many things we do. So, you know, you all that are listening can just set your intention to have an awareness of what you're doing on pattern. And then the next time you choose to, you know, there's that kind of trigger to move into pattern, you're just going to pause. And you're going to ask yourself, do I want to make the next decision based on pattern or based on choice? And you're going to get an answer. And then you're just going to tune in to your heart, to your soul, and go, okay, lead me, guide me, show me. Now, the first couple times you're going to do this, it's going to be wonky. You're going to mess up. It's not going to go smoothly. That's okay. Keep practicing. Because your life is going to be a lot more full of joy and beauty, because what you're doing is you're choosing based on wholeness and completeness rather than pattern or fear.
Well, that sounds like a good approach. Not that anything's necessarily good or bad, but, you know, there are choices that we make that enhance our well-being, and then ones we make that don't do that. I'd like to back up again just a moment and talk about awareness, because I believe strongly in the power of an attention. And it is so easy to become distracted and go on autopilot and become unconscious. Would you talk a little bit about tools that we can use to become more aware as we move through life?
Sure. So if something feels heavy, not solid and grounded, but heavy, icky, and sticky in the body, it's a giant lie you're telling yourself. If something feels light and airy, that is a giant truth. So just by tuning in when you're going through your day, let me give you an example. I had a conversation with a client, love this client. She had a huge breakthrough, and she asked for something that wasn't included in her program, and I went, okay, totally, we could do that. There's an extra fee. I got off the phone, and I went into not enough, and I could feel how that not enough, oh, my God, how could I ask for that? Who do I think I am? I'm not providing value. You know, what if she gets, like, all this story? And I could feel, like, the icky, sticky heaviness in my body. I could feel my stomach turning into a knot. I could feel myself, like, wanting to go sit on the couch and eat cheese. That's what I do when I'm upset. Like, all of that is a sign that I'm not being in consciousness. So when you notice the icky and sticky feeling in your body, you have an awareness. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. Now when you have an awareness, right, that's where you can start to transform. Mm-hmm. So the question I asked myself is, in that situation was, what would I have said if I just knew I was enough? And I was like, oh, that conversation would have gone just exactly the way it went. And suddenly there was a lightness in my body. So this body, this divine intelligence of ours, has a lot of information it will share with us. And then we can have a deeper conversation with our soul. And here's the thing. When you're going through something and you don't know what to kind of pray for or transform, you always ask your soul, God, universe, tree, Bob, and your body to activate safety within you, because that's the greatest fear of everyone on this planet, that they will not be safe.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, fear can be a great deceiver, and it's so important to remember that if we take a look back at our lives, at all those points in time when we've been concerned that our needs weren't going to be met, that they always have been met, even if it's at the most basic level. And I find that that's always an important thing to remember when I'm going through a period of fear and doubt.
It's a very good reminder. It's to, you know, I call that the cheat sheet. You know, take out that little cheat sheet, right? And read off that list of all of the previous times that you've come through. Because in that panic, in our fear, you know, our mind forgets every good thing that's ever happened to us.
Mm.
You know, and in panic and fear, it's hard to be really connected to your soul. It's hard to hear that soulful guidance. So the first thing you want to do is just create a pause in that fear cycle so something bigger can come in. And you can start to pay attention and be led by that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about intuition. You're known as a master intuitive, and for people that might be wondering what that is, would you be willing to explain that?
Sure. a master intuitive works that intuition muscle more than the average guy. So what I can do is when someone talks to me, I have knowledge that most people might not have. So I'll give you an example. several years, another mom story. So several years ago, me and my mom, oh my God, it's got to be 15 years ago, we're in Paris. And we're at the ticket counter buying our tickets for the metro. And we're in line, and I took my mom, and I took her, put my hand on her chest, and I was like, move back towards the wall. She's like, why? I was like, I don't know, Mom. Can you just move back towards the wall? You just listen, okay? She's like, sure. 5 seconds later, this woman was putting all of her monthly ticket money for her and her three children into the little slidey box to give it to the ticket taker. These three huge teenagers came, ripped it out of her hand, and ran off with it. If I didn't move my mom back, she would have been in the way. Okay? Now, at the time in doing that, I had really no clear reason to do that move. I just knew it had to be done. So some people have this intuition, it's what a knowing, that they don't know how they get the information. They just know in every fiber in their body. Some people get visuals. Some people hear things. Some people see things. There's a lot of ways to get this, you know, sixth sense kind of information. The thing that people get really kind of confused about is that they think that it looks like TV. And your intuition, the way the divine speaks to you is another way to put it, is going to be use your database. It's not going to use my database because then you wouldn't understand it. So I often get information through a science fiction reference or a cartoon reference because those are things I love. And then I have to actually put it in a way where I can talk to a client about. And sometimes I'll get a word and I'll be like, okay, here's this word. I don't know what that means. I'll be like, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. And it's like German. I'll be like, oh, okay. We've all had those intuitive moments. We've all had that moment where we picked up the phone and went, oh, my God, I was just thinking of you.
Yeah.
Or go left or go right.
Yes.
That's that external force guiding you, leading you to support you. All you need to do and all I do is I work it every moment of every day. And anyone can be taught to utilize that muscle. So I'm just really good at utilizing the muscle. I mean, I remember one day when I was talking to a friend, I went, I'm not intuitive anymore because it was just so integrated in my everyday movements, it didn't feel any different. She asked me a question. I went, oh, blah, 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 blah. She was like, yeah, oh, no, you're not intuitive anymore, right? So it's just a matter of paying attention. I suggest that if you want to build that muscle, start to keep an intuition journal where you ask yourself a question like, what do I need to know today? Write down some answers, go about your day, and at the end of the day, make some notes. So you can start to understand how you're getting your information, what your database is, and the themes. So one thing I'm never good at is I never know what anyone looks like. Like, I never see their physical self. I'm like, I always get it wrong. I think in the last 15 years, I got it right once. It's not my thing. And timing is never my thing. Where some other people are really good at timing. They can go, okay, on the third day of July, blah, blah, blah. Not my thing. My thing is understanding where people are out of the consciousness of love and helping them get back into it. I can see that from miles away where people are out of that. You know, and so when you keep that intuition journal, you're going to understand how your gifts are coming out. And you're going to just start to be able to use them more.
Well, I have a question for you. I have had prolonged periods in my life where I have felt keenly intuitive and it's almost been like precognition, synchronicity, whatever you want to call it. But my life just unfolded as I envisioned it. I would think of somebody, and within 5 seconds, they would call me. And these things would happen over and over, day in and day out. And that's not my experience anymore. What suggestions would you make to me?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is let's kind of reestablish your connection in a bigger way. I think that the integration has happened, and so it's more subtle. So we just need to ask different questions for you. It also feels like feels a little like your mind and your heart are out of an alignment. So we would need to kind of allow that mind to follow the heart more.
Okay.
And another thing I would tell you is, and I mean this with deep love, stop trying. Allow.
I think that's the problem, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, if you stop trying and just pause, you know, you're going to hear everything you need to hear. And I would give you an exercise. I would say, okay, for a week, you're going to ask one question, and then I want you to write out the answer, without thinking about it, with your less dominant hand. So let's start to rework that brain pattern, and let's kind of fool yourself into sparking that intuition, because it hasn't gone away. It's just, I used to have this photography teacher, I went to school for photography, who would look at a photograph and go, that's a good photograph, but the great one is 2 inches that way. And I think that's what's happening to your intuition. You've got it, but you got to move 2 inches to the left or to the right.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Well, we do have a lot of callers, and some more have called in. I'd like to suggest in a moment that we take a few of those calls, and everybody that I spoke to beforehand will get to speak with Jennifer. But I'm wondering, what kinds of things are you open to having people ask you?
Whatever they want to ask me, you know. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, I'm not going to put any, you know, kind of parameters on it. Let's see what happens. If I think it's inappropriate, I'll let them know. I have warrior energy, so I don't hold any punches. So, yeah, let's the games begin.
Okay, before we do that, let's talk about your website and how people can get in touch with you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for asking. So the best way to get in touch with me is soullanguage.us. There's a lot of free audios there. You could sign up for the newsletter. You can sign up for a discovery session where one of your soul languages will be identified. And what soul language is we're putting some tangibility to soul, so you can really create this deep conscious connection. And what happens when I identify a person's soul language, I often hear, oh, my God, you just put words to what I know, and now I can accept it. People who've been on the path for years say that as well. So you'll leave that discovery session with some real tangible tools to transform your life. So that's at soullanguage.us.
Beautiful. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Our first caller is Yvette. And Yvette, you are live. Say hello to Jennifer.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Wow. Gosh, I can go in so many directions. But let's just, I'm going to ask the love question. just general, I don't know, I've been doing my own work and having interesting men come into my space that are not the one. Not that I'm exclusively like the one, but you know, it's like preparing myself and just staying open, but you know, they're not the one. And, but, I guess I just wanted to know technically where I'm at in my calling him in. It's like, I'm kind of almost skeptical, not really skeptical. I kind of don't sometimes want to ask that question because I trust God and I know that he's bringing me the most amazing person to be in my life, but it's kind of a catch-22 when I ask that question.
Love is always a catch-22. You know, and I think for that, I think you work out your greatest challenges through relationships. And we know here, like, your core desire is to be profoundly loved for who you are. That's your core desire. Mm-hmm. This kind of calling in the one, this body of work that's out there, I would really
funny,
like
I'm looking
to,
at the book right now.
Yeah. I really love it. They're amazing women. Don't get me wrong. Amazing
right,
women.
Yeah. I did a workshop. I didn't like it.
And really, there's just one. There's how many people and how many
there's
souls?
A gazillion.
Right.
Right.
And there's just one. Not a lot of pressure there, people. Right.
Mm-hmm,
so the
right.
first thing I want to, the first thing I want you to know is I want you to know to ease off the pressure. And
oh,
the
yeah,
second
not,
thing
yeah.
I want you to know is kind of to admit that you don't really totally trust God. Right? No, right? So let's work on that for a moment.
Okay.
Right? Because
I'll just throw it out there. I don't trust God.
Right? You don't really, and I get that. I've been there. I'll be there again. I might be there tomorrow, okay? And
okay.
that's okay. Because I remember being in your situation and yelling, like, what the hell? I'm doing my work. I do my service for people. Where's the person who's going to love me? And I spent years, the moment that I stopped working on it, the moment that I profoundly activated that love inside, he came in a way that I could have never in a million years imagined. And when I say he's my peep, he's my peep. Like, God picked this one, like, woo!
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So.
Yep.
For 10 days.
Okay.
I want you not to work on it.
Okay, I won't.
I want you to have fun with you. I want you to explore what love means to you.
I can do that easily.
Okay? And I want you to actually get off the phone when we're done. Draw kind of imaginary line on your carpet and claim right there by walking over the line that God has your back.
Absolutely.
Okay? And enjoy
mm-hmm.
it. And then, when someone tells you something crazy, you follow through on it. So here's how I found the one. My best friend said, over drinks, she was drinking, I wasn't, give me your phone. I went, no. She's like, give me your phone. I'm signing you up for our time. I'm like, the old people's website? She's like, there's young people on there. I'm 45.
Right.
Okay, so she signed me up, and I start getting all these emails of that, and it's like, so-and-so wants to meet you, and so-and-so wants to meet you, and I finally logged on, and it's like, Jane wants to meet you. I'm like, Jane? My best friend accidentally signed me up for the wrong kind of partner. So I had all of these emails from all these lovely women who wanted to meet me.
Oh,
not my way. I'm good
right.
with it, but not my way.
Right, right.
So I was like, fine. I hear you, God. I flip the switch. I get three emails, and I get discouraged. And I go, forget this. And I hear, if you really want this, you must trust me. It's like, fine. So I go on the site. This guy pops up in Pennsylvania, can't see his eyes, wearing glasses, and I hear, reach out to him. I'm like, no way. No.
Mm-hmm.
I do. 18 months later, okay? So the weirdest thing that's going to happen, I'm going to say, follow that. Because it's
okay.
going to come out of left field. It's not going to come out of the way that you think it's going to come out of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have I supported you?
Yes, you just gave me a little bit more, I don't know how to explain it, just more playful energy to explore.
Perfect. And when he comes in, will
mm-hmm.
you email me and let me know? Because now you're in my prayer circle and I'm going to be rooting for you.
Lovely. I will. Are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Cool. And I will find you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's all. It is going to happen. Just lose the death grip and control over it.
Yeah. I go. I'm 99% usually good, but then it's like some weird energy has been going on in the last week or two with people in my arena and my field and relationship stuff. So like, yeah,
it's all coming up to clear so there's the path for it. That's just what's happening. And then once you meet him, there's going to be another whole slew of people that come out of the woodwork. So you can just go, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that was might have been good then, but not good now.
Right. Thank you so much for asking that question.
I'm excited. Thank
Yay.
You. Yay. Speaker. Okay. I'm going to look for you. Thank you so much. Thank
Thanks.
You, David.
Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you, Yvette. God bless, hon. Okay, our next caller is Wendy. And Wendy, you're live on the air.
Hi, thank you very much.
You're
Hi,
welcome.
Wendy.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. I applied on June 25th for a call center position online, and then I kind of put it out of my mind. And then I was surprised by a phone call from the hiring manager about a month later, and I had a panel interview on July 29th. And when I check online for my status for the job, it does still say that I'm under hiring manager review. I sent a thank you note, and then I remembered a few things that I should have mentioned, and I sent another note Tuesday, and it was a very professional note, short and brief. And I'm wondering if they're going to hire me. If so, I would start on September the 6th.
Okay. So there's still a lot of moving parts. There's still a lot of free will stuff happening. So there is no answer. And it's so funny because there's going to be a theme tonight. So watch out for the theme, David. So the theme here is, so this is about you understanding that you are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So can you do me a favor? I'm going to say a statement. Can you repeat it after me and let's see what happens in your body?
Okay.
Divine intelligence. Fill my body.
What was that again?
Fill my body. With the feeling and the knowing. That I am safe. That I am provided for. That I am supported. And just tell me what happens in your body.
I want to say the words stress leaving.
There's an openness, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm going to suggest that you practice that every time you think about the job.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's like this. I see, and I don't know what you look like. Again, I get that wrong. But I see you kind of on the merry-go-round, grabbing for the brass ring, right? The call center job is not the brass ring. We all know you want to do something bigger. And yet there's a part of you that doesn't feel worthy enough for the big thing, so you figure you're going to go for the call center job, right?
Well, I've got 15 years experience.
Right, but that doesn't mean anything. I know you want to do something bigger. Like, I know there's bigness in you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that leap is scary. So here's my thought for you. I want you to start thinking and feeling safety, and that this call center job or a job like it is a paid education to give you a foundation to do something you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's going to allow a lot of things to unfold around more prosperity for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because here's the thing. When people call me, and everyone who's got a question, when people call me, the answers are always much bigger than, yes, on September 6th, you're going to be working at this call center. It's like, it feels like 79% you're going to be at the call center.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other percent that I don't want you to worry about.
Okay.
I want you to understand that you're safe and something's coming along so that you're going to be supported in a big way. I want you to work on allowing it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So can I ask you one more question?
Please do.
Okay. So I want you just to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to imagine that you're at the big ocean of receiving. And you have a vessel that you're going to carry away with you from the big ocean of receiving. What does that vessel look like?
It looks like tarnished silver.
And
it's just big enough.
Go ahead.
That it'll be heavy when I carry it, but I'll carry it.
Perfect. Okay. So I want you to do that meditation as well, but I want the vessel to be bigger and not to be heavy because abundance is light. And I want you to keep doing that meditation, Wendy, until you are the vessel.
Okay. All right.
And let me know what happens and where you are on September 6th.
Okay. And you say 79% sure that I'm going to get the position?
79%, but there's a lot of free will stuff that's happening.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So, I mean, you can't predict free will, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, hopefully I'll be able to keep the job for at least 5 years, too. So, I have a lot of ethics, and I'm saying this with being very humble. My callers will be very fortunate when they get me on the phone because I will go the extra mile and ethically and professionally provide for them to the highest of my ability on every single call.
Okay, so then just imagine that the giant call center in the sky is lining up for you.
Okay.
It's really about, again, big theme, it's really about knowing that you're worthy to receive what you want.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you so much for sharing and being so open.
Well, thank you. Beautiful reading.
Thank you.
God
Thanks
bless.
For calling, Wendy. God bless
thank
and
you,
best
Jason.
Wishes with the with all the forms of abundance in your life.
Oh, very nice of you. Thank you.
You're
I
welcome,
appreciate
hon.
It.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Well, I think that free will would be an interesting discussion to have for a couple of minutes. Because that word's come up a few times, and a lot of people seem to forget that they have it.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's kind of, you know, will, so to speak, is kind of, I don't want to say beaten, that's too strong of a word, but, you know, it's kind of not really, especially in school, not really, you know, looked upon as a good thing. Oh, he has strong will. Oh, she has strong will, right? You know, here's the thing. Here's what I believe. I believe the universe tree, Bob, God, I call it God, knows everything if you're going to go left and everything if you're going to go right. But God doesn't know if you're going to go left or right. And the free will really comes down to choosing whether you embody that you're whole and complete, which means one with the divine, the creator of your own universe, or separate. It's that simple and complex. And, you know, I always use animals because animals don't have free will. Yes, they can make decisions, but if you put a bowl of poison in front of a human being and a bowl of poison in front of an animal, and they're both aware that it's poison, the human can choose to drink the poison, an animal will never choose to drink it.
Mm.
Right? And so that to me, that image is so profound because I can go, oh, look what I can do. It's a great, amazing way for you to create. We get to choose to be close to love. We get to choose to embody wholeness and completeness. We already are it, but we get to choose to embody it, to know it, and to experience it. And I think that's what free will is about. And I mean, we can spend hours talking about free will. I kind of like to talk about it because it has a lot of interesting discussions that can happen.
Well, what is it about humans, and we can look at this literally or metaphorically, as to why they would choose to drink the poison? Because quite often that's what we do.
I think that, unfortunately, it's a mass consciousness to learn through suffering. You know, I think it's a mass consciousness to feel unworthy. You know, there's this great guy who did this book. I forget the name of the book, but he hypnotized all these different people in all different walks of life and all different, you know, backgrounds and religious beliefs, and like took them back to the creation of God. And they kind of said the same thing. They said that this, you know, it's crazy human words for something that's intangible, right? But that this big, giant energy was of love was so big that and so beautiful that little bits of pieces of it were flying off and feeling alone, and that big energy didn't want that, so it created a planet. Crazy, crazy human thing, right? And then we got to choose to be on this planet. I think that moment of choosing, there's something in that mind, human psyche, that when we've chosen to be here, that some weird twist in our reptilian brains, we think that because we chose to be here, that somehow we're not worthy of God's love, comes down to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the mass consciousness of unworthiness, because no matter how many people I talk to, you know, people who've been on the path for a while, you know, people who've studied most of life, unworthiness always comes up, either in a very sneaky way or in a very big way. And I think, you know, this free will about choosing to know we are worthy, choosing to embody, is so profound. And I want to go back to Wendy for a second. So, you know, Wendy went to say, you know, humbly, I say, why humbly? It's not boasting. It's not being prideful. It's a fact that you're good on the phone, and you know, those people would be, you know, amazing to have you be on their phone. That's a fact. And I think often we're taught in school, especially women, to downplay our gifts and talents. You know, you can say anything you need to if it's encoded in love. It's not what you say, it's the energy behind it. And the energy behind Wendy's statement, right, was so beautiful. Like, I'm really good at this. I want to do this. I want to go the extra mile. This is the way I'm being of service to people. Like, let me do it. Like, that's beautiful. So, you know, often people will downplay their gifts and talents, or they won't even think it's a gift and talent because it comes so easily to them. You know, I ask really great questions. You know, and I can say that because I had an Emmy Award-winning producer, when I interviewed her, say, oh, my God, you ask great questions. Right? So I know that's a gift. If I was not to highlight that gift, I would be doing a disservice to everyone who came to me. So this is the time, you know, to kind of highlight that and allow that light to shine on your great gifts and then shine your light on other people's gifts. You know, it's that old Marianne Williamson poem.
I'm not familiar with it.
Ah, It's about, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, but it's about, you know, when you stand up and you shine, you allow others to shine.
I see.
Right? And so, you know, it's really about that. It's about, you know, when if you're going to be consciousness, then you're going to give people the opportunity to rise that consciousness. If you're going to get on the floor and cry with another person, then there's two people on the floor crying. That doesn't mean that you're not compassionate. That doesn't mean I don't feel great emotion sometimes when hearing someone suffering. The point is that someone's got to be the conscious person in the room. Someone's got to hold the pillar of love. And I think that by tuning into your soul, that just becomes an interwoven, you just activate it in your DNA more and more. So that's the first place you go rather than on the floor crying.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. Well, let's take another caller, if you're up for it.
Maybe. I'm up for it.
Okay, I'm coming to you, Julia. You're live.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
My name's Julia, and I'm calling from Florida.
Hello.
Hello there. This is a great show. I'm taking notes. I'm already on the back side of the first page.
Well, I'm pressing after my own heart.
This is so cool. Wow. Well, it's funny because, you know, I'm conflicted on which question because, you know, I'm curious about, you know, my soul connection, but also in the 3D world, I'm looking to relocate. So I was, you know, curious, you know, what insights you have about me, you know, finding my own place.
So let me ask you a question. And they're all wrapped together, by the way.
Okay.
So where on this planet does your heart sing?
Where on the planet does my heart sing?
Now you're in your head. You went right to your head. And I know you went right to your head because you repeated the question,
that's
right?
That's my problem.
Okay, so just take a deep breath.
I hate that.
That's okay. Just take a deep breath. And you're going to, I'm going to say a statement. You're going to get on the bus. You're going to allow your body to do it with me, okay?
Okay.
So here goes. Divine intelligence.
Divine
allow
intelligence.
My mind to follow my heart.
Allow my mind to follow my heart.
Okay. Now. Close your eyes.
Okay.
What type of environment does your heart sing in?
Near the water.
Yeah. Near the water. You need to be near water.
That's exactly where I want to move to.
Okay.
Closer to the water.
Okay. So then the question you get to ask yourself and the universe is, what do I get to be? And that's a consciousness level, right? So I bet that when you're at the ocean, you feel free, light, and almost like you're one with the universe. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I love to be by the water. It's peaceful to me. It's tranquil.
Okay, so that's what you get to be. So you're going to activate that tranquility in you every day. Then you got to go, okay, universe, guide me, lead me, show me. What do I get to do today? Where do I get to go to find my perfect living location? And some days you might feel or hear or be led, and sometimes it will, like, kind of just pop up in front of you, and some days there will be nothing, okay? But as long as you keep being in connection and activating it, you'll be led there.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, I was going along with you and Wendy when you were talking about going into safety because I've had a lot of fear and anxiety around, you know, going out on my own and all that good stuff. So I was saying it right along with her. Like, okay.
So let me ask you a question. Okay, fear and anxiety aside,
okay,
when you feel about going out on your own, do you feel a sense of lightness in your body or does it feel like icky and sticky? Not fear and anxiety, but when you just feel into going out on your own, do you feel lightness?
I feel like I want to feel good about it. I want to be, like, optimistic and, like, you know, think of it more of an adventure or, you know.
Okay, but you're listening to the fear, okay? So I want to move past the fear for a second, okay?
Okay.
Let's just hypothesize for a moment. Let's just say that you will have everything you need to go out on your own. That it will be like, I'm sorry, I just got this image of Willy Wonka in Candyland. That will be like that, like everything, you can just pluck it off at the ground, okay?
Okay.
That you have enough and everything will be provided for. Does it feel light and airy in your system?
Ooh, I just got chills.
Okay.
I just got like little goosebumps.
It's the right decision, okay? Okay.
Okay,
it's the fear and anxiety
that
that's making you doubt it, because that's ego just trying to keep you in safety.
Oh, okay.
If you went, no, then I'd be like, no, it's the wrong decision. But that goosebumpy feeling, you know that that's the right decision.
Yeah, that was quick, too. It just was like, ooh.
Yeah,
you know, like,
because you allowed yourself to move past the fear.
Wow, very cool.
So next time that comes up, go, ego, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Without ego, we wouldn't get off our couch. We'd be sitting thinking our big thoughts, and we would never do any action. Okay, so we like ego. But we don't need ego on crack. So you just thank ego, right? And go, thank you for playing. We're going to start to chase how this is possible. So if you give your mind an action, it will take it. So go, mind, show me how this is possible. Show me, because your mind just wants to be kept busy. So I hope that supported you.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that was amazing. You have such a wonderfully unique approach that, you know, like for me, I need to get out of my head, because I get in my head and I just go round and round and round, and it's never productive. It's always negative. So thank you for, you know, getting me out of my head.
You're so welcome. And keep me updated on the move.
Okay, sounds great. Well, thanks so much, and thank you, David. Have a great
You're welcome,
night.
Julia. Thank you for calling.
All right.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that place on the water.
Me too.
Okay.
Thanks.
And that's my dream too. So I'm going to hold your dream along with mine.
Woohoo!
Hey.
Okay.
Well,
thanks for calling.
Right?
That's right.
All right,
you've got it. Okay. God bless. All right, I have Diana, and then I have people I haven't talked to yet. We'll try to get to some of you too, folks. I do want to talk a little bit about your books, Jennifer, and your programs. Let's take Diana's call first. Diana, you're live.
Hi.
Hi.
You're a lot like me. Yeah, I'm a holistic person, and I died when I was 4, so, like, it's been all my life, and I'm 62 now. I'm having to, like, slow down because I, probably almost died of a sunstroke or something like that. So here, right when I needed it, a room became available. It's sort of hard for me to be patient enough to sit still while I get well. So anything to help me with that, because all the stuff you've told everybody else is things that I've told people. So
So why I'm going to say a statement, right? You're going to repeat word for word with me, after me, okay?
Okay.
Divine intelligence. Place my body. In the consciousness of being in action, in stillness. You went right in your brain. So let's do it again.
Okay.
And you're just gonna. I want you to feel what it feels like. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So repeat after me.
I forgot what it felt like. It's like being on an elliptical, riding an elliptical in your room.
Well, if you allow it to be in that, it's going to open up, and you're going to be able to have space in everything you do and don't do, meaning the stillness is not going to feel constricting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here's the thing. I'm going to say this with deep compassion for you. You know too much. When we study, when we know too much, we tend to be in it. So as you're in this stillness and kind of forced confinement, I want you to start to notice, or it's my suggestion you start to notice, the tiniest little thing and what that tiny little thing has to tell you. Because your world is about to open up.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful.
Yay!
Hey, well, actually, it wasn't just me. It was living outside with 100 degrees. It's kind of like, wow, you can't be out there. You've got to go inside now.
Yeah, no, I'm not very good in heat, so I understand what you're saying. So just take the time that you need to recover.
And I, okay.
Yeah, is there anything else I can do?
And I did, you know, people are doing this thing where get rid of everything you know, let go of everything you know. So I sort of did that. But, I mean, do you feel like you should let go of everything you know?
It's not letting go of everything I know. That's not what I mean at all. But I know, the more I know, the less I know. I am firmly aware of that. Because every time I think I know something, I get kicked by the universe. So, right? So it's about really being open to kind of going, oh, curiosity and discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of reminded me of that time that I did spend a couple of months, like, I would do 3 hours a day on an elliptical, and I'd be gone. I would be in the jungle with the Indians, and when I came out of my 3 hours, because I'd have a timer on, people would say, "Were you praying? How can you ride that? How can you ride that with your eyes closed, being asleep and meditating?" I'm like, "I just did," but so many things opened. So, okay, I'm going to go back to that space and see what happens this time.
Beautiful. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Diana.
Thank you, David.
It's always nice to have you on the show. Take good care, honey.
You too.
Okay, thanks. All right, let's talk a little bit about your books. I'm very interested in hearing about soul language consciously connecting with your soul for success. What's that about?
Well, several years ago in 2007, I was asking some big questions. You know, I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. Where are my people? How do I connect with them? And I was speaking at a conference, and this woman sat down next to me and went, "We're going to be friends." And I went, "Yeah." And then my inside voice went, "Why her? And not this other woman across the way?" And what I heard through divine guidance was, "Oh, that's soul language." And I went, "Okay, what's that?" And before long, I had this paradigm to put some tangibility to soul. Not to put anybody in a box, but to describe the three core energies of soul. So each one of us has three core energies: your mission, how you fuel that mission, and then your soulful personality, how your soul prefers to go through life. And so what it comes down to is I can give a one-liner to every soul on this planet. And when you have the words to describe yourself, that essential nature, there's this instant kind of connection, and then you can create and experience and communicate and have all these tools to move from unconscious or struggle to consciousness, which is knowing that you're whole and complete, the creator of your own universe. And when I went back to that woman, when I started identifying people's soul languages, I identified her languages, and we found out we spoke one language in common. So, of course, I recognized her. And she recognized me. So there's a total of 107 different core energies of soul, and we speak three. And the book is the total body of work of soul language. So it talks about the three categories. It goes through the 107 languages, and everyone gets a 15-minute, which is really 30-minute, discovery session when they purchase the book. So it really gives you tangible tools to connect with yourself for success.
Cool. Well, tell us about A Little Book of Prayers.
I'm a master, and I'm sighing because it's one of those things where it was so divinely guided. I'm a master prayer writer, and I was writing prayers for clients, and it's an affirmative prayer. So what that means is you focus your energy and you say it like it already is. And I was writing prayers every day for myself. I was writing prayers for clients. They were coming back and they were saying, oh my God, let me tell you what happened as I started saying this prayer. And I was on the beach with my friend Regina, and she's like, so when's that book coming out? And I went, what book? She goes, you know, that book of prayers. And I went, oh, Christ. Like, you know, one of her soul languages is called genius. So when a genius gives you information, because they're all about starting a revolution, I'm like, oh, okay, I got it, God. And so I collected 20 prayers for the top, like, 20 topics. So, and prayers that I use myself, prayers that my clients use. So there's a money prayer. There's a prayer for a broken heart, because as I was writing that book, my heart was broken. So I wrote that prayer. There's a prayer for health. There's a new day prayer, one to start every day with. There's a prayer of connection. There's a prayer of unification. And what I hear time and time again is when people use it, that's exactly what I needed to hear right here, right now. So it's
beautiful.
Been really, thank you, and it's been really well received, and I'm really honored to have written it, and I'll read the prayers, and I'll be like, oh, my God, who wrote this? And I'm like, oh, wait, I did, because they were just so divinely guided. And, it's one of those things that I think, you know, focusing your creative power is so important, because we're doing it anyway, so you might as well do it with an intention and attention.
Well, I'm going to ask something of you, if you're willing to do it at the end of the show, and that would be to read one of the prayers.
Oh, I would be honored. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, if people want to work with you, what does that look like?
Well, because I'm a renegade, you know, I do have set programs, but most of the time it's a custom program. So everyone starts with a soul language identification. That allows you to really understand. It gives you connection tools. And then it depends on what the end result people want. I'm really good at people who want to create huge transformation very fast, because I'm like liquid nitrogen. And I'm really good with people who want to create a movement, meaning that want to be of service in a big way and are having trouble aligning with that or making that tangible or taking it to the next level. So we always start with a soul language ID, and then I have a program that I call the Spiritual Renegade Program, excuse me, which includes a soul language ID and includes a lot of basics and one-on-one time with me, because what I find is that most people get into this spiritual rut where they were told one thing, and now it's stuck with them, and it's not really supporting them. And so there's a bunch of tools that actually create your kind of your spiritual journey more in a personal way. So there's a tool that helps you close unfinished business, because a lot of us have a lot of stuff that we're holding on to that we don't need to, and it's sucking our energy. There's a, you know, understanding your wealth consciousness tool. There's understanding your gifts and talents, creating your sacred practice. So it's a real good foundational program that kind of gets you, I'm seeing like a stake in the ground, puts your stake in the ground of creating this or reinforcing your spiritual journey and your connection in a powerful way. And it takes into account that you're living on a tangible planet. So I have warrior energy. One of my soul languages is called Graceful Warrior. And so if it can't be used in everyday life, if it doesn't create momentum or action forward, I don't do it or recommend it. So they're very tangible tools in connecting with something that's really intangible.
Mm. Beautiful. It sounds
Thank
great.
You.
We've had callers that have called in after you announced your website. Would you do that again?
Sure. It's soullanguage.us.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Now, these folks I have not talked to, so I'm going to area code 802 first. And what is your name, please?
Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Hello,
Say hi
Heidi.
To Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. How can I support you?
I do have one question. My husband passed away just about a year ago. And when that passed, he owned a bed and breakfast out of state with a business partner. That was not resolved. The business partner and I have it up for sale, and I'm just very anxious about when it's going to sell because basically I carried it all last winter on his life insurance policy, and I'm hoping to not have to do that this year.
Okay. So the first question I have for you is, what's your relationship with the business partner?
I really thought it was good. I believed that we were all three best of friends. I mean, the business partner lived with us in the winter because the bed and breakfast is on Cape Cod and we're in Vermont, so it was closed down 6 months out of the year. So I really thought we were the best of friends. After the funeral, I think I got a rude awakening.
Yeah. There's so much guilt and pain there. So I have a couple exercises for you to do. One, I want you to have a soul-to-soul conversation with the business partner. That doesn't mean person-to-person. I want you to sit down, set the intention to talk to his soul, talk to his listening with his permission, and I want you just to explain, really, without judgment, without fear, why you want to let go of the in. Okay? It's almost like...
that, because I think he's emotionally still attached.
Yeah, he is. He's emotionally attached, and he was emotionally attached to your husband, and not in a weird way, but there's
okay.
a lot of grief and pain there.
Yes,
and,
there is. There really
and
is.
He doesn't know how to process it. And this is the last thing that allows this individual to keep a hold of your husband.
I understand that. You know, and I so pray every night that he can get some relief.
Right, but you're praying for something. Here's the thing. When I want, my suggestion is that you pray for a resolution that is in the highest good of all, meaning your highest good and everyone on this planet. And then just have that soul-to-soul conversation. I think once you have that soul conversation and let him know, let him understand on a soul level that you understand his sorrow, that you understand his pain, that you're not trying to make it worse, right?
Oh, God, I'm not. I'm really not.
I know that. And his soul knows that, right? But if you talk to the soul, maybe the human will understand that.
Okay.
And then... the second thing I want you to do is have a conversation with the inn. Go, okay, why aren't you being sold? It feels like it's almost like there's a lockdown on the house. It can be lifted. I just think that you need to do some energetic work around it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And... another thing, big theme again. Okay, so I was once told that no client is the source for me. God is the source for me. A client can be a resource. If that resource doesn't work out, another one will show up. I'm passing that information on to you. That house is not the source for you. It's a resource.
Okay.
So the moment that you loosen your death grip of control on it,
yeah,
there's
which
a lot
I do
more...
have. I will admit it, I do have.
Right. And honestly, I would too, right? It's just about having awareness and shifting it. And listen, you don't have to shift it 100%. You just have to shift it 51%. Just over. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of a woman called Mary Morrissey?
No, I have not.
Okay. So when you go to the library and
okay.
look up Mary Morrissey and grab one of her amazing books. She's an. It's so funny because I hardly ever recommend people, not because I don't like to. It's just it never comes up. So Mary Morrissey must have something to say to you personally. She has this in one of her prosperity books. She has this great story about a house. So look up Mary Morrissey. Spend some time listening to her. Look at her on YouTube. There's something there that she personally will relate to you that will shift as well.
Okay.
And when it happens, will you let me know?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the reason why, everyone, I asked for you to, like, let me know is because I'm still updating my database all the time. So I want to know if something I said is accurate. And that's really important when you're kind of working on your intuition.
I
was in a class, and I gave this reading, and I said to the who was a friend of mine, you're going to get two new dogs. I see two new dogs. And she's like, no, 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 we have three dogs, and we're not going to get any more dogs. And a year and a half later goes by, and unfortunately her dogs died. She got two new dogs that were brothers. Now, I didn't go back
wonderful.
To her and go, right? I didn't go, na-na-na-na-na.
No.
Right? Because that's mean. But to understand how you get your information is important. So that's why I'm just asking, if you remember, just to shoot me an email.
I certainly will. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heidi. Best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless. Okay. I'm going to move on to area code 856. And you're live. What is your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Say hi to Jennifer.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
So my question is, I'm looking for work, and I'm wondering what you're picking up about that.
Okay. So often when we look for work, we're not looking for purpose, right? So what do you love to do, Laura?
I love to help people and make a difference.
Okay. So I want you to flip open whatever resource you're using to kind of look for work with the intention of, I'm ready to receive the job that I can be the most service at and the job to be the most service to me. Because you're kind of going through the job process with, like, a cloud over your head. You get to move the cloud. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm not sure what the cloud is, though.
Well, the cloud, it feels like doubt, it feels like worry, it feels like fear, it feels like concern. I get that. I've been there. I can tell you a million stories of, oh, my God, the American Express bills do, and I don't have that money, and the money shows up, okay? When
right.
there's something coming down the line that you're going to be excited about. I don't want the doubt and fear to get in the way of excitement in receiving that job.
Do you know what it is and when it's coming?
No, and here's the thing. I'm going to say this really loud so everyone can hear it. I'm never going to get that information, and here's why. Because that's never going to truly help you. Knowing the date and when it's coming is never going to truly help a person because it creates this codependent relationship. You have every answer you need inside of you. I just ask really good questions. So here's what I know. I know a job's coming. I know it's going to be a job you love. And the thing that I want you to kind of embrace, or it's my suggestion, is that fact and that fact alone.
So, Jen, can I ask you, what is it about the job that I'm going to love so much?
I think it's going to be like the first time ever you feel like you've like find a place where you feel at home. Does that make sense?
But what does that entail? Being at home means what? That I'm going to like the people that I work with, or that I'm
feeling
like I'm...
Yeah, it's
going to
be
like
a community.
Community. See, and I know that, I mean, I have goals and aspirations for what I want in life, but I also know that I get the most satisfaction when I know that I'm making an important difference in people's lives. And sometimes that comes about, in the past, it's come about when I've been training in the hospitals and I've corrected some serious issues that could have meant some problems for the patients. And I discovered some of the issues and I rectified it throughout the hospital. So that made me feel really good because I knew that I was making a difference, that I had fixed something before it got out of hand. So stuff like that, that's what I'm talking about when I say I like to know that I'm going to be making a difference, helping, in making improvements and helping people. You know, that's what I'm looking for. So I don't know what that means in terms of the job.
Right, but you keep trying to focus on the how. The how is the last step. It's the last step. It goes like this, okay? You be consciousness, okay? You feel consciousness again. You do a very little, and then you have. You're trying to make your biggest step the doing step, and it's not.
It's not.
It's not. Because you're scared, and rightly so. I get that. And I'm warrior, so I can get more done in 15 minutes than most people do every day. So if I said to you, you're going to have a job by August 29th, what would you do differently tomorrow?
Well, I would like to be able to tell you that I wouldn't continue submitting resumes. But I don't think
let me ask that question again. If I told you tomorrow, you know, if I told you you had a job August 29th, how would you feel differently tomorrow?
I would be hopeful, but I would still be looking for work and continuing to submit resumes. And that's the truth.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the right answer.
There's no right or wrong answer here.
Can you
agree with me? In some universe, you have a job right here, right now. Somewhere in time.
Yes,
somewhere
I can agree
with
that.
I want you to focus on that and send out resumes from there. Because that's going to allow all the doing you do to have more weight and more power.
Okay.
Because,
I can do that.
Yeah, I know you can, and that's great. And here's this other thing. When I've told people blah, 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 they don't believe it until they can experience for themselves. And the only way they can experience for themselves is by shifting their consciousness. And it's happened to me. Because 3 years ago when I went through that big heartbreak, everyone said to me, Jen, and I know some of the top transformational people in the industry. I know some of the most amazing psychics. And they said, Jen, the next one, I'm telling you, that's the one. You're going to get over this. And I yelled and screamed. I said, I don't want it. Telling me doesn't do anything for me. So
that sounds familiar.
Right? So be in that energy of it's a done deal and send out your resumes through there.
Okay. With that energy, with that thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I will.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you so much for participating.
But Jen,
yeah?
Can you tell me, do you see with this job that's coming, do you think I'd be moving out of state long distance, or do you think I'd still be locally where I'm at?
I don't see you going long distance.
Okay, so somewhere in the vicinity.
Yeah, I don't see you going like cross country, overseas. I don't see that. It doesn't feel like that.
Well, I've been submitting resumes to North Carolina and Oklahoma.
Well, where are you now?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, hello.
But I've also submitted resumes in New Jersey as well.
I love North Carolina. North Carolina is a great state. That feels closer than that could be a possibility.
What,
my whole
North
entire
Carolina?
Like team went. I have 50-50. It's a 50-50.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charleston,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, for some reason. I have a feeling, I just feel good about North Carolina, and I've
then
always
stick with
I would...
a good feeling, Laura.
Yeah, I know.
Where are you in Jersey?
I'm in down by the Cherry Hill area. Do you know where that's at? South Jersey?
Yeah, I'm in Morristown.
You're kidding.
We're neighbors.
Yes, we are. Now, are you in Morristown or Moorestown?
Morristown.
Morris, that's further north from me.
Yeah, much north.
Mm-hmm.
But stay in the good feeling. Stay there.
Okay.
Okay?
I will.
And keep me
up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jen.
You know, I could hear it in your voice, Laura, when you got to that place.
Her whole entire energy changed.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. Stay in that energy. Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for pointing that out, David.
Laura.
Really beautiful of you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, David.
You're welcome. God.
You too.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we can't get to everybody tonight, but I would love to have you read one of your prayers, Jennifer.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay, pick a number 1 through 20.
12.
Ooh. All is good. There is a creative force in the universe, and this force is love. In this creative force, which I call the divine, all is possible. All is good, all is well. I know and feel that I am part of this creative force. So I know that within me are all possibilities. All is well and all is good. Today, I trust that all is good, and I am ready to experience the creative mind in action. I am willing and able to experience more of the good of the universe. I am grateful for this knowing, and I am grateful to the source within me, and I open up and I receive. I can let go of the how and of control. I am willing and able for doubt and fear not to be the rulers of my world, because in my world and in the divine's world, fear and doubt do not exist. Great number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Where can people get your books?
Amazon. You can just enter my name and they pop up. Or you can log on to my site at soullanguage.us and they're there as well.
Well, that's great. And I'd like to call you back after the show. I'd love to have you back on again next year.
I would be honored. And thank you so much. It's been so much fun. So thank you.
Yes, likewise. Thank you so much. So once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.